Hello and welcome to a new episode of Thundering Alone with me, Bror Thundering. And today we're going to do, like the title of this video says, we're going to do a review of Running Wild's new record, Blood on Blood. But before I get into the record at hand, I want to talk a little bit about my story with the band and so on. And for those of you who know me, they know that I am a huge Running Wild fan. And I have been that since 2009, I think. Yeah, it was 2009, because I remember when I found out about this band, I was recommended to them by a friend of mine that I knew. And I was like, shit, this is awesome. And I mean, essentially, it became like my new favorite band, and still is to this day. I mean, definitely among my top favorite bands. If I ever do a top 10 list, Running Wild is probably very high on that list. But anyway, like I said, for those of you who know about Running Wild's history, 2009 was the year in which Running Wild stopped playing. Basically, they had their final show at Wacken 2009, and they called it the final Jolly Roger, which is a good live show, I think. I definitely recommend checking it out. And I mean, sure, there had been a very long time since they've done anything of value, really. They've hadn't really played anything for a long time. I mean, I think they released the record in like two, I think it was Rogues and Vogue was released in 2004 or something. So there had been a very long time of silence, basically. 2005, sorry. Rogues and Vogue was released in 2005. And, I like a lot of their records. And I actually like Rogues and Vogue, even though the production is fucking weird. But whatever. So I got into the band around the time when they quit playing, which was kind of, it was kind of saddening that such a good band that I started to enjoy just quit playing. But I still had my hopes up anyway. You know how it is in the metal culture, or I mean metal culture, music culture overall, that there are a lot of bands that say that, okay, we're gonna call it quits, we'll do our final tour and we'll never be back. And you know how usually that isn't true at all. I mean, they always come back in one way or another. I mean, unless one of the members die, of course. So I had my hopes up anyway, and I continued to listen. And I think it was in 2011 that they announced that they're coming back and with a new record, which would be the record that came out in 2012, which was Shadowmaker, which is not a favorite record of mine at all. I mean, I think I said it on Metal Brain Fart that I think it's like the worst record that they've ever done. And I kind of stand by it. And it was, for me, a very disappointing return. I mean, for that matter, there wasn't too much Running Wild in it, because I think during the time, Rock'n'Rolf was doing like his glam side project for a while, like Giant X and Toxic Taste. And I think a lot of those kinds of things bled over into the Running Wild thing, which was disappointing. And yeah, from that point, we got Resilient after that, like a year after. And that was had pretty similar problems, but at least they were trying to go back to what Running Wild sounded like in the 90s. And this is a theme definitely for this episode. I'm definitely going to say like 90s, 190 times probably. But they were trying to sound like they did back in the day, but it didn't really work out. At least not for me. I don't know about, I think a lot of people are agreeing with me that Resilient wasn't really too interesting of a record, really, at all. And I agree. But then I think we had got Rapid Foray after that one. And that, I must say, because my expectations were probably really severely lowered to the depths, if you will. And that record was pretty darn good. I revisited it fairly recently before doing this review, and it's a good record, I say. I mean, it's not amazing, of course, but it is really good, and particularly the production. It sounds like something that was recorded and made in the 90s. I mean, the songs, of course, do not sound like that, but, you know, the production and the feel of the whole thing, you know, the album cover, the sound production, you know, it sounded like a true 90s Running Wild record. And I thought it was great. And they finally managed to make like an epic track that was good. Because those longer songs from the two previous albums, like Dracula and Bloody Island, were pretty mediocre. Because usually long Running Wild tracks are great, historically. I mean, of course, there's a classic like Treasure Island. We have, what's that track from Death of Glory? Waterloo. And then, of course, we have the longest epic they've ever done, Genesis, which is probably their greatest song ever. It all has all the parts that you need in a Running Wild song in it, and it goes on for 16 minutes, but it feels like 7. It's great. But whatever, I'm digressing here. The Last of the Mohicans was the final track of Rapid Foray, and I think that's a terrific track. It's really great. It's better than most shorter tracks, so for some reason it seems like they've gotten the Iron Maidenitis and can only like write longer songs that are good, and the shorter songs are just, I wouldn't say bad, but they don't really hold up. So, that was an introduction of sorts. Now I'm gonna get into the meat and potatoes of this episode, and it's Blood on Blood. And I must say, I have done... the reason why it's taking me so long to get around to do a review... I mean, this... when I'm recording this, it's sort of like 2 weeks after the fact, I think. Yeah, 2 weeks after the record was released. And I really needed the time because... you know, it's sort of like with the Maiden situation. I gotta give it a couple of spins on the record player and really get my, you know, my mind into it. I don't want to do a review just off the bat, because if I did a review right off the bat, I would have given it too positive of a review, and I don't think I don't think that would have been good at all, honestly. But I've given it a couple of plays. I think I've listened to it enough, because usually I put it whenever if a record isn't good after 3 plays, then it isn't worth playing. But in this case, it's like after 3 plays, I was still confused. So I spinned it around a couple of times more, and I actually made some notes about the song, about the songs on the record. I made a note about every song here, and. The thing is, for most of the tracks, I was thinking about doing this track by track, but the thing is, I would probably say the same thing over and over. You know, good melodies, mid-tempo, and not too offensive. And that's the thing about the first 3 tracks of these records are basically good melodied, mid-tempo tracks that sounds like other tracks. And that's another thing I'm gonna get into. A lot of these songs really sounds like other songs in a way that I don't think previous records have done it like this. I mean, it almost sounds like they've tried to like redo some old tracks, but the funny thing is it's like it's kind of the filler tracks they're trying to emulate in a way. And I'm a forgiving guy. I really like Running Wild fillers. But I think for most people, this is probably like the first three songs are probably boring as fuck. And I wouldn't disagree. But from my point, I mean, I like it. It's okay, but you know, it's nothing new, nothing inventive about it. But there are a couple of songs I want to talk about. I mean, Diamonds and Pearls was the first single of the album. And it's really good because it's the fourth track and it's the first track that has a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of fire to it. At least it feels that way, but it's still like somewhat a mid-tempo track. And I want to put this mid-tempo discussion in the grave. I mean, this band, obviously they are old dudes. I can't expect them to go like 150 to 200 BPM every song. I mean, they've already done it. And besides, if you want some high-energy Running Wild-sounding music, I mean, for that matter, check out Pirate Hymn or Blazing Stone even. Two great Running Wild-influenced bands that, you know, they do it, I mean, I wouldn't say better than the original, but they do it like they did in the old days. So, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, then great. But yeah, Diamonds and Pearls, I think it's good. It has a good melody to it, a really catchy chorus. I think this will probably be the live track if they ever play live again, but I mean, I guess they will. Running Wild only plays like festival gigs, but I actually been to one of them in 2017 at Sweden Rock, so it was a good gig, one of the best in my life, but I digress. And yeah, then we have, for some reason on this album, we have Crossing the Blades, which some of you remember that it was released as an EP a couple of years back. And it's kind of weird to like see it, because I thought like the EP, I mean, it could have stayed there. I mean, why did it, you know, I thought it was kind of weird because it should have really only been an EP exclusive, but hey, whatever. And I mean, it's a decent track. And the drums are really fantastic. I really like the drums. And it reminds me of Bloody Red Rose and Jennings Revenge a bit, which are two great fucking songs. And I mean, yeah, I like it. But then again, if I want to listen to a better version of this, then I'd rather go to those two songs than listen to this, to be quite frank. But it's a great track. I love it. A sword fighting track, if you know what I'm saying. And another track I want to talk about that's probably the weirdest one on this record is One Night, One Day. And, oh man, they use a side stick in a Running Wild song. Okay, that's fucking weird. But I must say that, I mean, I've read a couple of interviews with Rock and Rolf, and there was like this interviewer in an article once that asked him why they haven't done ballads. And Rolf basically said that his band doesn't really do ballads in the way, you know, obviously they have a song called The Ballad of William Kidd, but it's not a ballad in the sense that we know it, of course. I mean, they obviously mean like a power ballad, but whatever. And here we basically have like this anthem power ballad shit, and I'm feeling like, oh my god, this is almost like blasphemy. Why the fuck are they doing this? I mean, it's an okay track, don't get me wrong. It's just like, it's not really Running Wild. This is not a track that I would associate with Running Wild. I think it's probably something, a leftover thing from the Giant X or Toxic Taste era in some way. So I mean, it feels just out of place, that's it. Because it has a lot of good melodies and it has like a sort of old Western cowboy feeling to it, which I like. But the thing is, you know, it doesn't fit here. I don't get it. It's a weird one. Another track I want to mention is The Shellback, which is the second single released on this album. And yeah, they're going back to the story of Black Hand Inn, which is one of their greatest records ever, a lot of you would say, and I agree, but I'm more of a Pile of Skulls fans, but that's neither here nor there. And we get the melody from the classic Black Hand Inn song, and it's like, okay, like acoustically playing, and yeah, I mean, cool, but I don't really get this song at all. I mean, it's not a bad track, and it reminds me a bit about, like, it reminds me of Return of the Dragon from Victory. More, I mean, it reminds me more of songs from Victory than off of Black Hand Inn. So, I mean, if you want to do a tribute, a sequel to Black Hand Inn, I mean, it kind of misses the point, I think. I don't know, it's decent, good melodies, I mean, but, you know, it's kind of unnecessary to call it, like, I mean, I don't think it fits in with the Black Hand Inn thing. It really doesn't. It doesn't feel like a natural sequel to anything of that album at all, really. Strangely enough, Wild Wild Nights, that is a song that's fast, really. I don't think it's mid-tempo at all. I mean, I hate saying the word mid-tempo, I don't know, but a lot of songs have a lot of a similar sort of a feel to them, and it gets kind of boring to listen to because you get lulled into like a sort of a strange feel. It's hard to describe, but this song really breaks up the monotony in a way, and it's really fast, and it sort of reminds me of Three Wind Riders a bit, and like Metalhead, sort of like this more fun rock and roll driven party songs, which I really like this track. Strangely enough, I mean, I'm not really too keen on those rock and roll party songs that they have. I mean, I like them, but I really much prefer, you know, the sword fighting swashbuckler songs, like their pirate songs or cowboy songs. That's what I'm into. But I mean, this was really good. I mean, there's nothing new to it. It's they're not reinventing the wheel here, but I mean, it's a great track. It's really nice, and I mean, what is good, you know. That's what's important. Now here is probably the best track on the album, in my opinion, and it's the final track, The Iron Time, 1618 to 1648. And for those of you out there that are history buffs, you probably know that those years are the 30 Years' War, basically. So it's a track that is based on the 30 Years' War, which is very interesting, but because this album came out very close to November 6th, which in Sweden is a holiday to remember the death of Gustavus Adolphus, the warrior king, that the Swedish king that partook in a lot of battles in the 30 Years' War when Sweden entered, and he was killed at the Battle of Lützen on November 6th, I think it was. I don't remember the exact year, but the thing was, I mean, it was a big tragedy, obviously. But the soldiers, they kept on fighting. Even though the king was dead, the generals decided to continue. And this was basically the beginning of the Swedish Empire, in a way, after the war, that is. I mean, Sweden became a huge force, and it was thanks to Gustavus Adolphus, but I don't think the track really focuses on him at all. I think it's more about the suffering the suffering that the war caused upon Germany. It was a very violent time, and a lot of looting and raping and burning and pillaging happened during this time. I mean, it was a very dark time in German history, definitely. But what about the song then? I've talked about what it's about, but the song is very good, and the beginning is very interesting because it sounds very familiar. It sounds like the Lord of the Rings theme. not like exactly like the theme, but it sounds similar, and I kind of like it. I mean, it's a good theme. So, I mean, I can't complain too much. And I really, it has a lot of, I mean, once again here, when I look through my notes, I draw the comparisons to other songs like Tsar and William Kidd and Waterloo. And it is one of those longer tracks. And but I don't think it's a detriment that it sounds like other epics. I think it's fine, really. So, I mean, I think it's a very good closing track, because it begins with like acoustic guitars and it ends the same way with the same thing. So it sort of like ties the whole thing into a bow. Really nice. I really enjoy it. So I would say that, yeah, it's my favorite so far, favorite track of the album. Yeah, and some closing thoughts here. I would say it is pretty, unfortunately, a pretty underwhelming album. Though the record production sounds like something from the 90s, the songwriting is really not there at all. Most songs sounds like other songs they made, but like somewhat slower or like not as good at all. It seems like they were trying to make Black Hand In again, but it turned out into like more like a more mediocre version of Masquerade. I don't know. That's what it sounds like. The songs in and of themselves, they're not bad, but I feel like they could have used some more tweaking. You know, a little bit more time in the oven, I would feel. Which is, I mean, I hate to do this, but my final score for this one is actually 5.5 out of 10. I mean, overall, like I said, the production is excellent. It sounds good. It sounds like something from the 90s. And there are a couple of good tracks, but unfortunately, most of it is pretty meh. And honestly, I mean, like I mentioned Masquerade. I mean, it's a pretty weak record, but I mean, it's way better than this, I think. So, yeah, that's it, really. I mean, would I recommend this record? Well, only if you're a hardcore fan. There are definitely good records in the discography of Running Wild. I mean, I would say the entire 90s era is the best. So anything from that era is probably way more recommendable than this, unfortunately. And that was all from this episode of Thundering Alone, reviewing Running Wild's Blood and Blood. Music in this episode was provided by Pirate Hymn. Thank you, Jean Paul, for letting me use your music in this episode. That was really cool. And I'm going to provide a link. I'm using songs from the Nautilus EP. And I'm going to provide some links to his Bandcamp, Pirate Hymn's Bandcamp, that is. Check it out. It's really good. Instrumental Running Wild sounding music. And there will be a record out soon, a new Pirate Hymn record out. So I recommend you check out his Bandcamp and support him. And Thundering Alone will be back sometime in the future. See you around.